Thank you for joining me on another episode of She Leads Now podcast, where we help career and entrepreneurial women gain the tools to develop a success mindset, create winning strategies, build collaborative relationships, and take bold action towards creating impact and fulfillment in their lives and careers. I'm your host, Sabine Gideon, and I'm on a mission to awaken and activate women and emerging leaders so they can tap into their innate leadership ability, elevate their influence, and create the impact they were destined to make. If you're ready to uplevel your confidence, courage, and influence, you've come to the right place. Join me weekly for insights, strategies, and resources to help you grow, develop, and embody the leader you were meant to be, so that you can make the impact you know you are called to make and establish the legacy you've always dreamed. The world eagerly awaits the emergence of your brilliance, impact, and influence. So with that, let's dive into this week's episode. Welcome, 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 and happy Wednesday, everyone. I am your host, Sabine Gideon. Thank you for joining this Lead Hership in Action session today. And of course, I have another fabulous guest, Ms. Nicole Jensen, the CEO of Leaders of Transformation. And I will go into her background really briefly, but thank you for being on the show, Nicole.
Thanks for having me, Sabine. It's great to be back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I already know it's going to be a great conversation just based on where we started when we were in, you know, the green room. But for those of you who are tuning in and you are completely new to us, again, I am Sabine Gideon, the CEO of Gideon Enterprises, as well as the host of She Leads Now podcast. And with me today, I have Nicole Jensen, who has over 30 years of experience empowering thousands of leaders to play to their strengths, grow their businesses, and make a greater impact. As a coach and strategic advisor, she is passionate about helping women and men shift their perspective, expand their influence, and solve complex issues with the aim of transforming the world for the better. So with that, welcome to the show, powerhouse Nicole Jensen.
Thank you so much.
Nicole, if you would, just share with the audience a little bit about you, your journey, and the work that you do today.
Sure. So I've been an entrepreneur, as you said, and a business owner, coach, trainer for over 30 years. I had the unique privilege of growing up in an entrepreneurial household. My parents owned businesses, franchises, garage businesses, and then got started in direct sales into a network marketing business when I was young. And so I was knee deep into it as a home-based business. And so I got to see a lot about what, you know, the inner workings of business. And then I started my own company, and then I partnered with my parents. And so I had lots and lots of experience. And then I got invited in by some people that we knew that had businesses, and they would say, hey, can you come in and help us fix our business? And so by the time I was in my mid to late 20s, I thought, you know what, this is what I'm going to be doing. I mean, partnering with my parents in a successful business, we had people in, it was like 11 countries or so. And I just thought that's what I was going to do for the rest of my life. But apparently God had different plans, because that business is pretty much no longer, and it fell apart. And I saw the effects of great leadership and also not great leadership, and in fact, very destructive leadership. And so I was able to take a lot of learning from on the way up as we were building an eight-figure business, but also on the way down. And I pulled all of that knowledge and experience and perspective and turned it into a coaching and training, formalized it in coaching and training, because I realized I was doing it for years. But I started doing that and working with entrepreneurs and business owners, business leaders, helping them to avoid the same mistakes that we had fallen into, and to be able to grow successful businesses, but to do it based on a common mission and vision, and then making sure that they were staying true to their values. And then fast forward in 2015, I started a podcast called The Leaders of Transformation, and that's been an incredible journey. We just released episode 468, and I've had the pleasure of being able to interview some amazing leaders from around the world. So having a lot of different perspective, being able to continue to hone my own experience and skills to be able to help leaders at the highest level. And also those starting out and aspiring to lead well, to be able to do what they're designed to do, what God has called them to step into that and do it successfully and help others do it as well.
That is awesome. I was impressed with the number that you were at last year when we talked, and even more so now, because I know that this is not an easy gig, being able to produce a podcast consistently and weekly. And to your point, you've had some really, really amazing guests on there. So kudos to you for your diligence in that and getting the message out and supporting leaders in their development, regardless of where they are. But I also love the fact that, you know, you took all of these lessons that you learned at a pretty early age. You know, most of us, or a lot of us, transition into entrepreneurship after being in the corporate or after doing something different. So the fact that you were able to get that hands-on experience so early on and then decide for yourself how you wanted to carve out the path, and have been able to help so many entrepreneurs in their development and their growth of their businesses. That is awesome. So we were talking about this a little bit in the green room before of, you know, a year later, right? What has changed? Last year when we were talking, it was more so around, you know, how are leaders finding some level of stability or moving towards whatever the new normal was going to be. A year later, that the carrot stick has been moved even further. So I'm curious, based on the leaders that you work with and what you've seen in industry, what are some of the changes, the shifts that have happened? Where do we still have work to do? And then we can get into what's the future.
Yeah, I think right now what's happening is, you know, we've come out of the pandemic. We've come out of a situation where it was like a crisis where a lot of people turned into, you know, went kind of inward and reflecting on what was a priority for them. As a leader of an organization, they were in many cases, survival mode. How do we stay alive? How do we stay thriving? How do we help our people? Who do we keep? Who do we not? In some cases, you know, all of those questions. And there's a lot of, shall we call them, war wounds that they've come out of that time with. And so there's some leaders, let me put it that way. There's some leaders that have come out and so they're like, man, I just want a break. I just want to be able to kind of reset myself and reset my organization. However, with the advent of AI and, you know, all the things that are moving forward in terms of technology, they're really not getting that time to be able to do that because now it's the next thing. And that's accelerating really fast. There's also those leaders that had set themselves up and even through that time had developed a certain resilience, whether before or during, developed a certain resilience to be able to navigate and to pivot quickly. And those that did, who built those muscles and strengthened their people and strengthened and put people first, their people first, and really strengthened their organization, put themselves in a position to be able to take advantage of what's going on now, and to accelerate and to step forward really quickly. And so I'm seeing a lot of that because a lot of those are the people that are saying, hey, let's go. Like, how are we going to use this tool? Because now they're seeing it as an opportunity, you know, crisis and opportunity in the Chinese character is the same. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that in the midst of crisis, there is always opportunity. In the midst of setback, there is always opportunity. It's the same thing like with us losing our business. We lost everything. We lost financially. We lost everything relationally. We lost a good portion of the people that we were in because we were in business with them. They were also our friends. And so I saw my parents struggle through that and the hurt and the disappointment. But there was so much there that was a blessing in terms of learning and growth and understanding perspective and resilience. And that's what I used going forward. And so as I ran, you know, let's say we had the 2008, 2009, market crash and then the pandemic and the different things. my brain just works differently now because of the experience that I had, that I'm like, oh, okay. So how do we deal with this? Right? Like, so what, now what? And that's not to be insensitive to the loss, you know, and have lost loved ones and all of that and the concern around that. But from a solution oriented perspective is to say, okay, so this is what is right now. Let's acknowledge that as opposed to trying to deny it and or run from it, is to say, this is what is. So now what are we going to do about it? I can't change those things. I can't change it. I can't take it away. So I need to deal with it and to come front and center. So there's some leaders that are struggling to do that because they're still living in the past. And there are other leaders that are saying, okay, I've got to be able to face it. I've got to be able to confront it and say, I don't know what I'm doing. We're in uncharted waters again, in a different way. What are we going to do about that? And those are the ones that are finding themselves at more at peace, more confidence, more hope, and are able to move forward quickly and adapt quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you dropped a bunch of nuggets there that I want to dissect. And so I love the fact that you brought up that piece about crisis equaling opportunity. I used to listen to Dr. Miles Monroe. He's a mentor to me, even though he's since passed. And, you know, he has a whole book around crisis and leadership and whatnot. And that's the thing that always stuck out to me, because he said it repeatedly, like, crisis can mean whatever you want it to mean. You can choose for it to mean, oh, it's the end or it's demise, or you can choose to look at it as opportunity. And to your point, you know, especially if you've lived through crisis before, we know that amazing opportunities come out of crisis. It's a matter of the perspective, right? If you're focused on the loss or what was, to your point, then yes, it's devastating and you're stuck there, unfortunately. But when you can see it as, okay, well, now this is created a new problem, what solution can I come up with that'll help us, you know, advance or move forward? And, you know, another thing that you mentioned was really around resilience. More and more, I'm seeing organizations, you know, as part of 360s now and as part of core leadership competencies, that resilience has risen to the top. In the last couple of years, we saw empathy and compassion rise to the top. Resilience has always been there, but now I feel like it takes priority over strategic focus or business acumen or anything else like that. But essentially, I feel like resilience is one of those words that it's a word. We all sort of kind of know what it means and what it looks like. But when it comes to people really defining whether or not someone can demonstrate or has demonstrated resilience and what resilience in the moment looks like at play, that's where I'm seeing leaders are still kind of, okay, we're finding our ground here. So I'm curious for you, for your leaders, where this is a big focus or this is a competency that they're working towards, what does that look like in action?
Nicole.
So I think one of the things is that you've got to have the right people around you, right? You need to have, as a leader, if you are in a position or have placed yourself in a position where you need to have all the answers, that creates a lot of stress, unnecessary stress. But if you have the right people around you where you can honestly and authentically say, I don't have all the answers, let's figure this out together. How does that relate to resilience? Well, the more you are wearing yourself out, right, the less you're going to be able to have when it's needed, if that makes sense. If I tire myself out throughout the day and I've got a presentation at night and I'm tiring myself out doing, you know, menial things, I'm going to be less effective in the evening, no matter how much of a mindset I can have and so forth. I'm just not going to be able to bring my best to the table. So having the right people is important around you that are not just going to agree with you and whatever you say, but that are going to really think through that creatively, innovatively, and say, okay, what can we do about this? Again, looking at it and saying, this is what is. We've got to get to the point of what is. Transformation starts with awareness. It's self-awareness, it's other awareness, and it's awareness about what's going on in the world. Without that awareness, without that acknowledgement of saying, this is what is, we're shadow boxing, right? We're trying to avoid it. We're spending so much, exerting so much energy trying to make it to be or wish it to be something else that we don't have the energy to do what we need to be doing. So that's number one. Number two is exercising, giving yourself in the not so stressful times, giving yourself and your team opportunities to develop resilience by changing things up. You know, there's something that a lot of speakers do, and they'll say, try, if you're left-handed, which I'm, you know, left-handed, write with your right hand. Do things, exercise those muscles, right? If I'm going to go and run a marathon, I'm not going to go and start off by saying, okay, next week there's a 2.6 mile, whatever, or 26, whatever 0.2 mile, marathon that I'm going to run. I'm going to prepare 6 months ahead. Right? So developing those muscles of resilience ahead of time by doing things differently. And you can do that in many different ways, just making your brain think in a different pattern. I had somebody on my show. I've had some, like I said, amazing guests. One of the guests that I had, she was a year ago or 2 years ago, Dr. Deborah Gilboa, she wrote a book called From Stressed to Resilient. And she noticed as a family physician that it wasn't necessarily that you needed to do less. You just needed to approach what you were doing differently. And so she gives a number of different suggestions on how you can develop greater resilience and move from stress to resilient. I had another guest that I just interviewed a couple of days ago, James Burstall, and he wrote a book called The Flexible Method and talks about in crisis, what they learned in the 2008-2009 crisis. He's an international production CEO of a production house. They have people all around the world. And the entertainment industry was pretty hard hit by COVID because they were completely shut down. But they were able to open faster than anyone else and be able to adapt because they looked at this is what is. Now, what do we need to do about it? Let's get the right team around us, right? So they took an executive team, they brought them together and they started to brainstorm, come up with all these ideas of what they could do. They also communicated a lot with their people, you know, and were looking creatively at ways to support them. And also to, like he said, now we've got 100 production teams around the world, which we didn't have before, right? Because they were thinking creatively and saying, okay, well, we can't fly people to these different areas. They had two people on their team that were part of their job was to track the opens and the lockdowns to see where were markets opening, where they could go and film in those pockets. They looked in their attic of what they had, you know, shows that they had done, TV shows in the past, and said, what can we repurpose? But those are all questions when you think about underlying all of that is acknowledging and having an awareness and acknowledgeable what is, and then looking and saying, what can we do about it with the right people around you? Now, there's another piece to this just before we start. There's a number of pieces we can talk about, but one more that I think is important is self-care. Most leaders, they don't take the time to care for themselves because they're like, oh, you know what? I'll sleep when I'm dead. Right. Or one day, you know, I'll be able to retire and I'll be able to do one day. The reality is that you need to take that time and it's not selfish. You need to take that time so that the best version of you can show up and you can truly be effective. Again, if you never want to make big decisions when you're tired or hungry, right? So if you're worn out and exhausted, the best version of you is just not able to show up. So take a day off, take a week off, take some time off. And if you do it regularly, you don't need as much time because you're not so depleted. And I do believe that we are actually meant, and I know that you're a woman of faith, we are meant to live from a place of overflow, not from a place of filled up even. That's like, to me, that ought to be the baseline, mm-hmm. right? So the baseline, the worst case scenario, I'm full, but ideally I'm in overflow. I'm operating in that place of overflow. How do I do that, right? That's where my resilience comes in. That's where my strength comes in to be able to handle whatever's coming my way.
Sabine.
I totally agree. As you were talking, the thing that came up for me in terms of resilience is that it's essentially a muscle, right? That we both have to build and exercise. So, you know, for those of you who are watching or who are listening, you know, if you've ever started a new workout plan, right, like you don't just because you bench pressed, 15 reps, like you're not going to be buff. It's going to take some time. And oftentimes it's the consistency of doing it that like one day you look in the mirror and like you're just fixing your hair and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I see muscles here. Like, look at those shoulders. So it's usually something that you don't even recognize that you've built strength in. And so I think, you know, if the last few years has done anything, it's given us the opportunity to be in the gym, to build up those reps so that we are a lot more resilient as a society overall because of all of the change and everything that's coming. Where I'm seeing some of the challenge is that it's not that we haven't had the opportunity to build up the muscle. It's a matter of now, how do I exercise this muscle? When does it make sense? When do I tap into it, right? Versus the natural tendency for us as humans is to lean into fear, right? Fear comes, something happens, something is out of our control. That's the first place that we go versus remembering, wait a minute, I've built strength over these last 3 years. How do I tap into that? And I've been doing a lot of presentations this past few months around growth mindset. And I think that that's another byproduct, if you will, or resilience is a byproduct of having a growth mindset or developing a growth mindset where you see things, challenges, you know, weaknesses, opportunities, whatever, as areas for growth, improvement. And so the example that you gave with your guest that you had on recently, I think that is the what all leaders should be doing, right? I know I shouldn't people, but if you think about it from the perspective, is one thing, and this is what Dr. Miles Monroe always used to say, you know, there are two constants, change and death. Those are the two constants. And so we know that change is happening. It's a matter of if not, or it's a matter of when, not if. So knowing that, understanding that, and helping leaders to stay in that mindset so that they're not, and it's easy to do it, right? I do it in my own business and with my own clients. I see them doing it, but it's so easy to, you know, want to think broad, want to think ahead, and then something happens that derails you, right? Like the squirrel moment. And then you start to get into weeds of something that is completely irrelevant and it takes you off of that focus. So, you know, I think right now, leaders, and we're all leaders, right? So let me preface that. We're all leaders, but people who are sitting in seats of leadership, who are responsible for making strategic decisions around the business, around the livelihood of their employees right now, that's a lot. And they're also thinking about, what does this look like for my family? What does this look like for me? So it makes sense that it's a very overwhelming time. But it sounds like there's some leaders that you work with who they've leveraged previous seasons, if you will, to put themselves in a space. Well, right now, this isn't, not that it's not affecting us, but it's not taking us down. Yeah. And so what are, and there's no right or wrong answers here, but, you know, as you think about like, what are day-to-day things, self-care, I think is very, very important and having that understanding, but how do we support leaders in putting things in practice daily that allow them to have some level of grounding when, you know, that squirrel moment happens or something totally unexpected comes across their desk?
Yes. And that's a great question. And I was going to share, yeah, along with that, and it ties into this, is that there's also vision. What's important is you've got to have somewhere, you know, that you're going, you've got to have something that you're looking towards, because what we focus on expands. So something I teach all of my clients is that you need to, you know, look at your focus. It's like it's called a triad. It actually comes from Tony Robbins. And if you think of like a triangle, and one part of it is focus, and then there's words, and then there's state, you know, or you can call it language and physiology, but I like focus, words, state. When you think about that, you think about, and this helps you develop resilience. So I have clients of mine who have little notepads and little sticky notes, and they have it on their computer. And it's this, it's asking myself in the moment, what am I focusing on, right? What are my words? And what is my state of being? What is my physiology, my body language saying, but also my state in my environment? Who am I hanging around with? You know, what am I listening to? And I think one of the things that wears us down is by listening to too much information out there, too much noise. And when we have too much noise, it starts to wear on us. It's interesting, because James, who the TV producer, he says he does a detox, a digital detox. Now, here's a guy who actually is a content creator, that his shows are viewed in, you know, however many countries, hundreds of, you know, 150 countries around the world. And here he says, I take a digital detox on a regular basis so that I can have a clear mind on how to move forward. Because what you're hearing in the news is already happened, right? It's already going on, and it's going on, it's continuing. And, you know, a lot of it is actually negative news, right? Social media is negative. And so to have, but even the positive, even like, I love podcasts. We're on one right now. I have a show. Podcasts are awesome. You can learn a lot of great information that you can go ahead and apply and do, you know, and create great results and impact in your life. That said, you need a certain amount of quiet time on a regular basis, and I would say daily basis, to be able to have a clear mind to move forward so that you can create an unprecedented future rather than continuing to repeat the same thing over and over again. So on a day-to-day basis, this morning, I went for a walk. Number one, I started off, I prayed. And I went on a walk, and I was also praying on my walk. I was just no podcast, no email, checking text and all of that kind of stuff. I went on a walk, fresh air, grounded myself, and I thought about the day ahead, right? So I set my intention. I had a vision. I looked at what I was looking to accomplish today, and I presenced myself to that. Then I came back. And then I had a healthy breakfast, had a shower, had time to set myself, check my email, and then I can jump into my first meeting, right? And at the end of the day, something that is very powerful is debriefing and saying what worked today, what went well, what didn't work well, what am I learning, or what did I learn about today? And what can I do differently tomorrow and or leverage and continue to do tomorrow? Because to your point about consistency, it's not just doing it one day. It is doing it day in, day out, and tweak, 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 so that you can get to the point of excellence, that you can get to the point of mastery, that you can get to the point of resilience and having muscles that are, so it becomes your new homeostasis. You know, I have a friend of mine who I said to her, I said, I don't even know that you know how to fail, because your level of homeostasis is at such a level that you just don't know how to think any other. That's your autopilot. Your autopilot is set for winning. Right. And unfortunately, a lot of us growing up and through our life and through the input that we've had, have had a mindset or a conditioning that has not set us up for that. So we need to set that up for ourselves every day. And then just like you take a shower every day, hopefully everybody takes a shower every day, brush your teeth. The same thing. You got to set your mind. You got to set your body. You got to set your spirit, your soul. You got to set yourself up for success for the day. It's every day. And then when crisis hits, you've already got those muscles built and you've been in training. So now the first natural reaction is, okay, what am I focused on? What is my words, my language, my internal dialogue, my external dialogue? What's the state of what's my environment? How can I set myself up for success?
Yeah, I totally agree. The digital detox is everything. I do one at least once a quarter, just because it's necessary. And, you know, as a business owner, obviously a lot of my marketing is done on social, but there are tools where you can schedule and you can appear to be on all places at all times. But I think that's so important. And it reminds me of Tim Ferriss's book, the 4-Hour Workweek. But even since then, right, he shares like he goes away for months just to think, just to be silent. Now, of course, most of us can't do that. We're not at a place where we can do that. But I do think that there's such an important piece that leaders at all stages, regardless of where you are, like we need space and time to think. That is part of the creation process. You know, we're not meant to just do, because if we're even when we're doing, we're just doing the patterns that has already been solidified in our subconscious mind. So those aren't the things that are necessarily going to move things forward. It's when we take those moments or take those deep breaths, if you will, or, you know, that time in nature where we just allow ourselves to be. That's where the creative ideas come from. That's where the rest comes from. That's where you're able to refute any of the fears that your subconscious mind is trying to get you to buy into. And so I think that that is a huge thing. You know, when you hear self-care, especially nowadays, that I think the percentage keeps going up, but 70% or so of leaders are experiencing burnout. And then you share about self-care and just like, oh, well, you know, I don't really have time for that. Like if I had time for self-care, I wouldn't be burnt out. No, if you created or carved out maybe just the first hour of the day or the first 30 minutes of the day to center yourself. Hal Elrod's the Miracle Morning book. I remember when I first heard about it, right? It was just like 5 a.m. Who's getting up at 5 a.m.? Not I. What do I do now? I get up at 5 a.m. But nonetheless, I thought that that was masterful in you don't need, you know, 10 hours of a day. Just start small. Identify, you know, 2 to 3 things that you can do. If you can just stretch for 5 minutes, if you can just repeat affirmations like that really does have an impact on how you carry out your day so that you're not empty at the end of the day. And then another piece that I just want to highlight that you talked about is it's really, really important to make sure that the team that you have around you, and that team could be the team that you have in your organization, in your business, at home, in your personal network, that you have a team of people who will, you know, put that mirror up, as I like to call it, have a mirror moment for you, and that you're willing to listen and you're willing to be accountable to those people. Because again, I think we're just in a time, or we've been in a time where even more so people who are sitting in leadership positions or positions of authority feel like there's so much pressure. Everyone's looking to me. At any given moment, I could get canceled. At any given moment, I'll say the wrong thing and, you know, upset someone. So there's so much fear in the atmosphere, and their decisions and their behaviors are being driven by fear versus, you know, what's the opportunity in this? Or, you know, is there a way to like move away from that? I think that that's the piece from the pandemic, or maybe even it was there before the pandemic, but the pandemic definitely highlighted how many of our leaders operate from such a place of fear and such a scarcity mindset that, you know, their decisions, while they might sound logical or seem reasonable in the time, that at the root of it, it's really fear. And that when we're making decisions out of fear, it serves no one, regardless of what role you're in.
Yeah. You know, fear is so pervasive that we can be striving forward and still doing it from a place of fear. Yeah. It's subtle. And we don't even notice that we're doing it because most of the time we're not even spending enough time to really get present with ourselves and have that self-awareness or put the mirror up and say, hey, what's up with that? Recently, I was saying something to my husband, something I had a challenge around. And he said to me, wow, there's a lot of I in your language. And I was like, that's interesting. Right. So yeah, where is that coming from? And why do I feel the need to be like, I this and I that and me this? And it really allowed me to reflect and realize that that's not normally my language. So what's going on for me that I need to, you know, where did I allow fear in? Where am I trying to self-preserve? Where is self-interest becoming the lead priority in this conversation? And how do I shift? So to your point about having the right people around you, also those that are not going to continue to feed negative, right? We are who we hang around with. You hang around with negative people that are fearful and complaining or judging, then it's going to rub off on you. You want to have a cold, hang out with people who have a cold. You want to be successful, you hang out with people who are successful. Now, success, you got to define success because some people are successful in some areas and not others. So you got to be really clear on what you're looking to create in the world and then who are the right people to be around. So it's not necessarily how much money is in their bank account. It is about the mindset that they have and the success that they have in their life that you're really looking for. The money follows. It's like the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be given unto you. So we've got to keep that in perspective as well. So, but fear is so pervasive. And even just a question that God put on my heart during that time was, are you looking through the lens of love or are you looking through the lens of fear right now? Is it? So I was like, man, I got to clean my lens off. You wear glasses, right? I got to clean my lens off. Maybe I need to change it and set a new set of glasses on that come from a place of love. Am I coming from love or am I coming from fear? And fear, like I said, so sneaky because it looks like striving. It looks like I don't have enough time. It looks like I need to get more. I need to have more, right? All of that. Versus from a place of love, which is there's an abundance out there. There's an abundance. There's, you know, what about compassion? What about getting curious? If somebody does something or says something to you that frustrates you or upsets you or offends you, ask yourself, why am I offended right now? Mm-hmm. Why am I upset right now? Because the truth is nobody makes us feel anything. We choose that. Nobody makes me feel mad. Nobody makes me happy. Nobody makes me sad. Those are emotions which I choose based on the meaning that I'm giving what's going on. I have something, you know, I have this situation with someone. I make a meaning about that event. And out of that meaning, I'm going to also make a belief. I'm going to make a belief, create a belief about myself and a belief about them. And that belief is going to drive my behavior and theirs most likely. Right? Because I'm going to communicate it to them in some form or fashion. And then it's going to create an outcome. If I want a different outcome, I need to go back and ask myself, what if I created a new meaning? Right? What if when somebody says something to me, I don't just say, wow, how could they say that to me? I can't believe I'm so offended. Why not ask the question and say, I wonder what's going on in their life. I wonder what's going on for them that made them say that. Get curious. Get curious mm-hmm. about people. Seek to understand. If we would actually just seek to understand ourselves and others and what's going on in the world, and have that curious mind, it would take our focus off of ourselves so much, right? And the natural inclination is if I focus on myself, I'll be stronger. Not necessarily, because absolutely. If it's coming from that place of lack, from deficiency, like I need to protect myself, then talking about resilience, I'm diminishing my ability to be resilient because I'm actually coming from a place of deficiency.
Agreed. I love that you brought up that love and fear, because I actually have a thing up here who are you when you're operating from a place of love? And who are you when you're operating from a place of fear? And so I have that up there as a regular reminder that when I'm, you know, when I am in fear, like, okay, well, what's happening? What are the thoughts? What is my behavior? What are my actions versus what that looks like from a place of love? And I think the other thing that I'll say, and we'll shift gears here, is that, you know, for people who are sitting in leadership roles, and I'm being specific because we're all leaders, but people who are sitting in leadership roles, I understand and I see it with the clients that I work with. There's just a lot of pressure to be all the things and to do all the things and to know all the things. And the truth is, we all have our spheres of influence, right? In terms of where our unique genius is and where, you know, we are the most powerful. And so the encouragement is, while people might be pulling on you to be this, to be that, to say this, to show up this way, or to take a stand in this way, at the end of the day, anything that we do that is not authentic or true to ourselves, that leads to failure. That leads to distrust. That leads to, you know, all types of things. And so the encouragement that I want to leave the leaders who are listening to this is that, you know, if you can try to be, do, and all these things, right? However, your most powerful self, your most authentic self, your most impactful self is the self that shows up, stays in their lane, and allows other people to support or fill in the gaps, if you will, or puzzle pieces of where you're not strong. And at the end of the day, you have to be true to yourself. And so that is my public service message, that, you know, stay true to who you are, regardless of what's going on in the atmosphere, because the world needs you as you are and the gift that you are to this world. So with that, I wanted to switch gears here. I know you have a couple of things going on. So for those who are listening, who want to connect with you, who want to learn more about the podcast, about the work that you do, where can they find you? Where do you hang out?
Yeah, the best place to go is leadersoftransformation.com. That's the website for the podcast. The coaching's on there. And in terms of where I hang out, usually I'm on Zoom and having conversations with amazing leaders. You can, through the website, you can actually book a consultation with me. And my schedule is a bit limited, but I do have a Calendly link there. And you can schedule a time that we can have that conversation. Of course, I'm on social, on Facebook and LinkedIn a lot. And then also Instagram, YouTube, all over. But it's all there on the website. Access to all of those areas as well.
Okay, awesome. And I believe you have a program coming up or launching soon, right?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm working on an academy, a Leaders of Transformation Academy, and it is a beast. It's a big project, so it's taking me a little bit longer than anticipated, but it is coming. And so, yeah, all the information will be there on the website and through the podcast. Of course, I'll be talking about it as well. But we're still in the works on that and working on some of the first early pieces. And that'll be something that we'll continue to build on. And that academy is going to be a place where someone who is a leader of transformation, wants to take it to the next level, can go to find resources, but also those that are aspiring and saying, I want to make a difference in the world. What do I need to know? And so that's all going to be there. And then what I'm doing with the 468 plus episodes that I have is that I'm actually plugging in the different episodes into, based on topic, plugging it in there so that it's a great resource for all these amazing people who are experts in specific areas. And that will be there as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Now I know why it's a beast. The 468 episodes and theming those out, that's going to be that is a huge undertaking. So before I share your desired legacy, because I didn't say this before, but the conversations with people like Nicole and some other fabulous women actually inspired me to publish the book Leadership Reloaded. And so I dedicated a section of the book to include their desired legacy and their advice to their younger self. So if you haven't gotten a copy of Lead Hership Reloaded yet, you can do so. It is available on Amazon. You can go through to my website, SabineGideon.com, and get the link there, or just go to Amazon and type in my name. But before I share or reshare your desired legacy, in terms of books, because I know I see in the back and we always have a good time exchanging books here. In terms of books that you would recommend for the audience based on our conversation today, or in general, are there any that come to mind?
Yes. So we've mentioned a few already. So From Stress to Resilient by Dr. Deborah Gilboa. The other one is The Flexible Method. I'm looking at it right now, by James Burstall. There's another one which we already did the interview, and that's going to be coming out in a couple of weeks. Build Your Village by Florence Ann Romano. And that's excellent, talking about how do you build your villages. Village isn't just for kids. You know, there's a saying, right? It takes a village to build a, you know, grow a child. We need villages as adults as well. And she goes into depth about how to do that, which is excellent, especially for women in leadership roles so that they're not isolated. And then the last one I will say is somebody who's also going to be in my show. I'm going to be interviewing him in a few weeks. I heard this gentleman speak 20, 25 years ago, and man, he just stood out, Dan Tichini. And I'm really excited about having him on the show. And he has a free ebook on their website, takenewground.com. And it is called The Change Imperative. And as I read through it, and I read a lot of material on how to deal with change and change management, it is a short, I finished reading it and sent it immediately off to a client and said, this is exactly what you're going through. This is a tremendous resource for you. So it's called The Change Imperative, and it is brilliant.
Awesome. Thank you. We will include all of those books in the show notes. So thank you for sharing that as a resource. And before I let you go, I'm going to share with the audience. So your desired legacy, or as of last year, your desired legacy was to leave a trail of people who know who they are and are operating from their place of identity, purpose, and assignment, and doing big things with confidence.
Yes. Amen. Awesome.
Well, with that, thank you so much, Nicole, for being on the show again. Thank you for those of you who caught it live. For those of you who are listening on the podcast, thank you for joining us as well. We will be back next week with another amazing leader for this Lead Her Ship in Action series. With that, have a wonderful rest of the week.
Thanks, Sabine.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of She Leads Now. If you found today's episode helpful or got a piece of insight that you plan to implement in your business or organization, I would love to hear from you. Connect with me on LinkedIn at Sabine Gideon, that's my handle, and send me a private message, or feel free to go ahead and leave a review on either Apple or Spotify. I also invite you to share this episode with anyone in your network who you think might benefit from this content. Lastly, be sure to check the show notes and the description below for links to resources, including relevant downloads, articles, and any upcoming training. Until we chat again, have a blessed and powerful week.